After Secretary Robert Rubin stepped down in 1999, it was easier to get cooperation from Treasury. Rubin had opposed our use of the International Economic Emergency Powers Act to go after terrorist financing fronts in the United States. His attitude toward strengthening international money laundering rules had been less than enthusiastic. The new Treasury Secretary, Larry Summers, was surprisingly a breath of fresh air. He asked Will Wexler to join him for the last year of the Clinton administration in developing a multilateral approach to name and shame foreign money laundering havens that were providing no-questions-asked financial services for al-Qaeda and other terrorists and criminal groups. This initiative made countries pay a price in the financial markets for their lack of cooperation and thus successfully forced over a dozen countries to rewrite their laws. Liechtenstein and the Bahamas later used those new laws after 9/11 to help us track down and freeze a key part of al-Qaeda's financial network. When the Bush administration came into office, I wanted to raise the profile of our efforts to combat terrorist financing, but found little interest. The new president's economic advisor, Larry Lindsey, had long argued for weakening U.S. anti-money laundering laws in a way that would undercut international standards. The new Secretary of the Treasury, Paul O'Neill, was lukewarm at best toward the multilateral efforts to name and shame foreign money laundering havens and allowed the process to shut down before the status of Saudi Arabian cooperation was ever assessed. In general, the Bush appointees distrusted anything invented by the Clinton administration and anything of a multilateral nature. So the international terrorist financing effort had two strikes against it. The new Bush focus in early 2001 was on confronting China, withdrawing from various multilateral obligations, and spending much more money on an anti-missile defense system, not on looking into al-Qaeda's financial network. Although Clinton had approved the retaliatory bombing and the sanctions after the attacks on the African embassies, he had also asked Sandy Berger for an overall plan to deal with al-Qaeda. My team set out to develop what we had taken to calling a Paul Mill plan, a politico-military plan. Every military operation has a code word or phrase. To express the intent of the Paul Mill plan for al-Qaeda, I borrowed a phrase from Cato the Elder, Roman senator and famous orator, who, in 201 BC, had encouraged war by ending every speech with the line, "Carthage must be destroyed," or, as Cato would have said it, "Carthago delenda est." When the Paul Mill plan was handed out, it was labeled Top Secret Delenda. The Undersecretaries of State and Defense, Tom Pickering and Walt Slocum, looked up from their copies knowingly. "You're right," Pickering said. "Al-Qaeda must be destroyed." Destroying Al-Qaeda would require a multifaceted, detailed plan. Intelligence agencies would need to identify and break up Al-Qaeda's cells, find its money, train and arm its enemies, and eliminate its leaders. Law enforcement agencies had similar responsibilities, including finding sleeper cells in the United States. The State Department would persuade other governments to assist us, would provide international approval of our actions, and would fund nations that needed help to join in our efforts. The Defense and State Departments would reduce the number of low-hanging fruit targets by hardening facilities. Treasury would seize al-Qaeda funds here and work with the international banking system to freeze them elsewhere. Resources were needed and were identified. Additional legal authorities were required, and plans to obtain them were detailed. Military plans were requested for additional bombing and possible commando operations.